Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm really excited. I've got Shelton R. Johnson here on Zoom. Hey, Shelton.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm good. All right, Shelton, I'm going to be honest, one of my favorite filmmakers. You brought your feature film, Thankful for My Family, to the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2020. And, you know, that was November 2020, so it was a completely locked down festival, virtual only, but we had virtual screenings, we did virtual Q&As. And, you know, what can I say? You are a personable man, because on Zoom, I'm like, man, if he was in LA, we'd probably be friends. And then you came back a year later with The Legend of Walkin' Willie, and that was at Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2021. And we had to do another Zoom one because, of course, you're in Virginia and where the festivals are here in Los Angeles. So, you know, right. We've had a couple Zooms, and it's funny. Is it the COVID thing? Like, we've all gotten used to, like, befriending people through Zoom?
I guess so. But, you know, I enjoy talking to you. You know, we speak the same language. I will say not all my Zoom experiences are as enjoyable as this one. So.
Thank you. I'll take the compliment. Yeah. But this episode, well, first, before we jump into it, I will mention, I did mention both films, but The Legend of Walkin' Willie, which is a short film comedy, is going to be in the Discovery Indie Film TV series. So if you're listening to this, just jump onto a big TV that has smart TV apps on it. Go to your Prime Video app and type in Discover Indie Film in the search field. It'll auto-complete at some point. If enough people do that, it'll start auto-completing even faster. So we want the words Discover to immediately be followed by Indie Film. So just keep typing that in search, please. But go to season 7, enjoy 10 episodes. I think it's 25, 26 films, including Shelton Johnson's film, The Legend of Walkin' Willie, which is very funny, very original, great work. And this podcast is not going to be about Shelton's work. It's going to be about his opinions on cinema. And you actually shared in the interview podcast that came before this one that you watch a lot of movies. You don't bother with TV series. You are
right.
A fan of cinema. So I'm looking forward to your answers. These four questions are going to be three favorite films, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. You want to just jump in with your three favorites or three of your favorites?
Okay. I'll jump in with three of my favorites. My number one favorite movie of all time is Harlem Nights. Then I would say number two would probably be The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And then number three, people are probably thinking, wow, he's all over the place, but I watch a lot of movies.
Well, that's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to have varied taste.
Right. And then I would probably say number three would be, number three is a tie between, no, it's not. I will go with Grumpy Old Men. Those are my three favorite movies. And these are solely based on entertainment, just purely entertainment. I didn't evaluate cinematography and directing and acting on it, just pure entertainment value. Those are my three favorites.
I mean, I often say, like, the question is, you know, just let us know three favorites. It doesn't have to be, the question isn't, what are the three best made films? It's three favorites.
Right, right.
And I got to say, Harlem Nights is a great film.
Yes, it is. And, yes.
I happen to have, I am the right age that, like, I think Eddie Murphy's only about 5 years older than me, but because he started SNL when he was like 19 or something, like,
right.
Like, I've watched his whole career. And I mean, that one, he wrote and directed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I wish he'd kept directing. I guess he, you know, his career went different direction from that. But yeah, that's a great one to mention.
Yeah.
And Good, Bad, and Ugly. I mean, talk about cinema.
Right. That's Sergio Leone. I love that. Yeah.
It's so good. And then Grumpy Old Men, that definitely, like, tickled, because you love, I've seen two of your films, and you love to watch characters play off each other.
Yes. Yes.
And watching Walter Matthau and Walter Jack Matthau. Lemmon play off each other.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. You know what's funny is, you know, everybody tells me, because I like Grumpy Old Men 1 and 2. I love both of them. But they always tell me, you should watch The Odd Couple. So I watched The Odd Couple. I really didn't care for The Odd Couple. I liked them better when they were old. So I did.
You well, know, and they worked out okay. there, right? They were even better.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of the things I greatly regret is that the comedy team, like when two people team up in a film and are hilarious together, I do miss that. I think you needed that Hollywood studio system to, okay, we're going to pump out 5 more with these two. You know, right. Whether it's 2 women, 2 men, a man and a woman. Like comedy teams, there's something special to a comedy team.
Right. That's true. Very true.
Yeah. And nowadays we don't, you know, a lot of people work together not too often.
Right. You don't see it often. Maybe Adam Sandler movies, then every now and again, maybe Tyler Perry movies, but that's about it.
Yeah. 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 Cause they always pull in there. They're like, they have like an acting, a repertoire. No, we're not I'm forgetting the word, but yeah, they have a stable of actors they work with over and over, but.
Right. But it's not always that same interaction. Like Walter Matthau and Jack, they always have that same interaction where one is, you know, the organized, one is the, you know, the goofball, the other is the straight man.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. All right. Well, the question number 2 is a film that is underrated.
Underrated, A Rage in Harlem by Bill Duke, directed by Bill Duke. He is not only is that film underrated, he is an underrated director. He has made some excellent films. I don't know why he's not in the same breath as Spike Lee when it comes to black cinematography and black director. I'm sorry. His film A Rage in Harlem, I think, is probably, in my opinion, his best work, but he's good. He's really good. Bill Duke. He also was an actor, too, but...
Yeah, he was a well-known actor, but and in lots of stuff. But yeah, as a director, he is super talented, and he's directed a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Well, that's a good one. All right, and next question. You're a naturally nice person, but I'm going to ask you to name a film that is overrated. And I might add, since you're a nice person, you're not saying it's a bad film. You could say this is a great film, but the awards and accolades, and I meet so many people who say this is the best film ever made. And I'm like, well, it's a really good film. It's just not the best.
This is going to hurt some feelings when I say this, but it's the truth. Reservoir Dogs, Quentin Tarantino's first movie.
I see a lot. Hey, fair enough. Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir
a lot
Dogs.
Of people say it's
and let me say, Quentin Tarantino is one of my favorite writer directors. I think he's made some great work. Django, I didn't really care for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but The Hateful Eight, Pulp Fiction, you know, the list goes on or whatever. He has 10
I'm with you. Once Upon a Time kind of let me down too.
But, yeah.
I think Inglourious Basterds is just a miraculously good film.
Oh, Inglourious Basterds is amazing. Like, but that was a wonder. I loved Inglourious Basterds. But so I think that I can't say I think it's underrated without explaining why, right? So Reservoir Dogs, I believe, is underrated. I'm sorry, overrated, because the opening scene, they're in a diner and it's 100% dialogue. You know, film is a visual medium. Yes, they were circling the camera around the table. And yes, it was, you know, he was trying to build essentially philosophical conflict, what he's trying to do. They had a good argument about the difference between people, waiters getting tipped at fancy restaurants versus somebody who does the same job at a fast food restaurant and not getting tips. And that's when the person didn't want to give tips and whatnot, you know. So that was all fine and dandy. However, it's a visual medium. I feel like for that to be the opening scene, you lost me already. You know, like it's... And then how does that relate to the story? You know, it was a very... It ended up relating to the story in a roundabout way if you watched the whole movie. But for me, I just feel like that's a bad way to start, especially for it to be 15 minutes long of dialogue. The first 15 minutes is just people sitting at a table. You know, that didn't... for me, I just thought it was overrated. And then also, if you notice, he was working with a tight budget. So a lot of the action scenes were not as gory as he would have liked, I know, because the camera moved away and just showed squirts of blood as opposed to the real action and stuff, you know, which, but that's the thing you have to do when you have a low budget action movie. You have to find ways to make it look realistic without.
For sure. I mean, that's in a way that's, I mean, it's totally valid. It is. So many people think they see that ear getting cut off, but you don't. You just see the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just drifts up. But yeah, no, totally. Hey, one of the things I love about this question is first of all, I love when someone names a film that I love as overrated because I'm like, I love differences of opinion. Like, this is an art form. It's subjective, you know?
Right.
And like you said, you're not saying it's a bad film. You're just saying...
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's bad.
You hear people walking around going, Quentin's made 14 films now, but the best was the first. And you're like, no, it's not. He was not, right. He was not at his best yet. He was working his way up to what he can do, you know, and hopefully the next one will be the best.
Right. I think his best are, I think it's a tie between Django. I love The Hateful Eight. My personal favorite is The Hateful Eight. But if I had to say which ones are his best, I would say it's a tie between Django and Inglourious Basterds. But if somebody asked me, you can only watch one Quentin Tarantino movie for the rest of your life, I would say The Hateful Eight. I love that.
That is a good one. That one might be underrated, you know, right? Because I think some people love it. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Inglourious was the perfect balance between Quentin style and then actually like a subject that's more, you know, Django and Inglourious, he finally dealt with a subject like beyond just like people pulling off a crime or people pulling off this. Like, I mean, one, he's dealing with the damn Holocaust, and the other he's dealing with slavery. Getting free from slavery. Like, those are more important topics than, you know, a couple actors just getting high around LA. I mean, I don't mean to criticize. I love them. I love them. But yeah, I'm with you. Those two are special.
Yeah.
And man, he knows how to act or perform. He gets his actors.
Yeah, he does.
They give him something special.
They do. Yes, they do. He does a great job.
A great job getting. We only got one question left, and that is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
The one with Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte.
When they were older?
No, they were younger.
They were younger.
The Preacher Man and Buck and the Preacher Man. Well, I'm gonna Google it real quick because I just learned about it probably.
Yeah, this is a good one because I don't think I know it. I'm gonna scroll back. I'm looking at IMDb. Buck and the Preacher, 1972.
Yeah, Buck and the Preacher. There you go. Yes.
I mean,
excellent film. I love Westerns.
Two icons.
Yes. And the thing about it is, when I clicked on it to watch it, I saw it had Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier. We were probably 25, 30 minutes into the movie, and I'm still trying to find Harry Belafonte. That's how good the costume design was in there. Like, I couldn't even tell that was Harry Belafonte. And he did such a great job acting. Didn't sound like himself, didn't look like himself. I mean, just, it was, because, you know, he's usually more of a stoic, handsome, you know, it was very different seeing him in a role such as this. Sidney Poitier, of course, you know, he did his thing. Obviously, Sidney Poitier. And then, you know, and then the storyline had Ruby Dee, they had some great actresses in there. The storyline moved very well. And the cinematography was really spot on. I mean, for 1972, you would think for a primarily black cast, you're usually thinking at that time, black exploitation films, which did not have good cinematography, didn't have quality cameras, didn't have quality lighting or anything really of quality, just was trying to get into the break into film. That film was very well done. I would say the cinematography was equal to a Sergio Leone Western. Visually, I felt like I was watching a major studio picture, and that's why I was shocked. I told my wife, I was like, how come I've never heard this movie? Like, what is this? Like, how, you know, because I thought I watched all the old Westerns, but I never saw this one, and it's amazing. The Preacher and it's called, what is it? The Preacher and Buck?
And you know what? I don't know if you caught, you probably know this. Sidney Poitier directed it.
Yes, I knew that. I did my research. Yes, he did. Yep.
Yeah.
Which I knew that. Yeah.
You know, by God, I'm sure that was a passion project. I'm sure he directed it because that was the way to get it made.
Right. But yeah, that's a little known film that is very, very well done. Very good movie.
And actually, it's kind of funny. On IMDb, because I looked it up on my phone on IMDb so I could help out. It's on Apple TV Plus. If someone has an Apple TV Plus subscription, you can watch it. So yeah. I highly recommend people watch this. I'm going to watch it because it good. Looks fantastic just looking at it on IMDb. And I got to say, I would bet $5 that Quentin Tarantino saw it. Because I think it might have inspired Django a little.
Probably. Yes. Yep. It's good. It's really good.
And yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let me, do you want to name your Instagram and stuff for people to follow?
Oh, yes. Yes. Please follow me. My name is Shelton. I'm at Shelton R. Johnson on Instagram. Follow me. There's a link in my bio. I post anytime there's something going on with my film, whether it be screenwriting related or working somebody else's project, working my projects, whatever. I usually post every now and again. I might put something in my story. So just follow, keep up with me. I promise you I'm working. And, usually if I see somebody, so Instagram's funny sometimes. They don't always show me people following, but if somebody follows me, I usually follow back. So, check me out on Instagram. You see all of my stuff up there. And there's a link in my bio to all my films. Right now I have The Legend of Walking Willie that will be in season 7 of Discover Indie Film, as Jeff mentioned. And then I also have Thankful for My Family, which is on Amazon, soon to be on Tubi, Cinema TV, and Momentum. Make sure I pronounce that right. that's it.
For sure. Excellent. Yeah, and I'll what was I going to add on? You said you said something I wanted to add on to it and now I forgot. But that's just who I am. My short-term memory's gone. So but thank you for mentioning all that. Absolutely. Oh, I was going to say I have a rule when people follow, I go look at their Instagram, and if they have way more followers than they follow, I'm like, oh, you follow people, and then you unfollow them after they follow you back. So I always check.
Oh yeah, some people check and see. Yeah.
Are you a person who's going to unfollow me as soon as I follow you? But
yeah,
I guess I'm.
I do an annual Instagram cleaning, where if somebody's not following me that I'm following, then it's like okay, unfollow.
I know. Someone wrote a little program you could run to bring up a list of everyone who you follow, who doesn't follow you back. And then you can be like, okay, do I actually like this person or should I get rid of it?
Right.
For sure. Exactly. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. I am now going to name all the stuff. Thank you people for listening. This is the Discover Indie Film podcast that gave birth to the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. Like Shelton said, his film, The Legend of Walking Willie, is in season 7. So just go to your smart TV and open the Prime Video app and type in Discover Indie Film and enjoy season 7. It's going to have 25, 26 outstandingly good short films in it. This is the cream of the crop from the festival circuit. If you want to learn more about the TV series or the podcast, go to discoverindiefilm.com and it's at DIF Wins on social media. And Shelton has had 2 films at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. So if you want to learn about that festival that we hold every November, go to ShermanOaksFF.com and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And it does have a sister festival every June. Try to spread the work throughout the year. So there's one in November and one in June. So that's Film Invasion Los Angeles. So if you go to filminvasionla.com and it's at Film Invasion LA on social media, you can learn about that festival. Shelton, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Same here.
Oh, and I forgot to do the 5-star thing. Hey, you know what? Watch season 7 with Shelton's film in it. And then give the TV series 5 stars, like and subscribe, and write a review of this podcast on whatever podcast player, podcatcher you're listening to. That'd be kind. You know, we live in a world where Too many people have gotten in the habit of commenting when they hate something and being quiet right. when they like it. So
yes.
I always remind people, we can be anti-trolls. We can, you see something you like, you hear something you like, take 3 minutes and go write a nice review of it. That's actually, I'm walking the walk now. I'm making myself write a review of everything I like because there's too many people. I've seen films at the festival that I love. I'm going to tell a very short story. Like, you know, a feature film that was made for like $5,000 and like a guy used cardboard cutouts instead of extras. Like, very creative. Wow. And then it was on Prime Video and it had 5 stars from a bunch of people, and then one person jumps in and gives it 1 star, and their complaint was, this film had such a low budget, it wasn't worth my renting. And it's like, you don't troll a film for having a low budget.
Yes, they don't get it.
I'm like, this film wasn't made for you. You just should have walked away from it instead of like giving it a lousy review. So
right.
That is my pitch. We got to be in a world full of more kindness.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. I could add on to that so much, but I'm just leaving it at that.
Yeah, we got to let it go. All right. Yeah. Well, Shilton, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jeff. You run a great, great festival. I'm looking forward to seeing the Discover Indie film. I'm going to be watching and leaving a positive review as well. So thank you. That's all I can say.
Thank you. And Shilton, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And
absolutely same here.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.